Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, for today, Sunday, December 20th. We are so excited because, one, this is our last show of the year, so we're excited that we've made it consistently through another year, year number 7. So we're really looking forward to next year, which will be our 8th year online with this show. So we thank you guys for continuously supporting us every Sunday night. We thank our listeners here in the United States, our listeners in Africa and London, Australia, all over the world, actually. We thank you guys for your continuous support. And for those of you who are listening to the playback, thank you as well. I'm going to send it over to my sister Denise, who has some beauty news for us. And she's probably on mute.
I'm sorry?
No, I said you're probably on mute.
No, I took myself off of mute. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. I know I mentioned this last week, but I just want to remind everyone again about, IMATS LA is coming up January 15th, 16th, and 17th. The 15th will be their pro-only day, and the 16th and 17th is open to pros and the general public. But you want to make sure you go ahead and get your tickets, especially if you are a pro card holder. Go ahead and get your tickets now so that you're safe when the tickets sell out. So get your tickets now. You can go to IMATS.net and just click on the LA tab and get information on the show, where it's going to take place, and the times for the show, as well as classes and all that kind of good stuff. So just make sure you go out and get your tickets now before the show sells out. And then also, coming up, the deadline to register for the the Pro Beauty. Sorry, I'm trying to get the exact name for it. But Pro Beauty does a hair and there's a hair, makeup, nail competition every year at their Pro Beauty Week in July in Las Vegas, and the deadline for that is in February. I'm so sorry I don't have that in front of me. I will have that by the end of the show. But the deadline is definitely in February, so I just wanted to remind you all about that once again, so that if you're interested in competing, that you don't miss that competition deadline to submit your information and your photos for that. There are 7 films competing for the makeup and hairstyling nomination for the Academy Awards. And those movies and makeup and hair people are, you have Mad Max, and competing for Mad Max is Leslie Vanderwalt, Elka Wardega, and Damian Martin. You have Mr. Holmes, and you have Dave and Lou Elsey doing hair and makeup on that show. Black Mass, you have Gloria Casney and Joel Harlow. Then for the 100-year-old man who climbed out the window and disappeared, you have Love Larson and Eva Von Bahr. For Concussion, which I can't wait to see, you have Howard Berger, Christopher Geller, and Katherine Gordon. The Revenant, you have Sean Grigg, Duncan Jarman, and Robert Pandini. And for Legend, you have Christine Blundell and Audrey Doyle hair and makeup on that show. So out of the 7 movies, 3 of those will be chosen and considered for the actual Oscar. The awards nominations will be announced live on January 14th, so stay tuned for that. Then also January 13th, Makeup Artist Magazine is celebrating its 20th anniversary of the magazine. So if you're interested in attending that event, I think the VIP tickets are all sold out, but there are $100 tickets left. So if you're interested in attending that event, it's going to be a black tie gala. So you want to get your tickets right now and plan to make it out to L.A. for that, especially if you are attending IMAX that week and you want to spend a couple of extra days out there. Makeup Artist Magazine is having a big to-do over at the Pasadena not the Pasadena Convention Center. That's where IMAX will be held, but over at the Sheraton that's attached to the Convention Center. That's where the gala will take place for their 20th anniversary. So be sure to get your tickets for that. And for more information, you can go to makeupmag.com. Again, that's makeupmag.com.
All right. There's a lot going on in the world of makeup. Again, we would like to thank everyone for joining us tonight. And just a reminder, if you have a comment or question for tonight's show, please give us a call at 914-399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. Make sure you press the option to speak with the host. And also, we are on Twitter as well, tweeting while we're talking tonight, as always. So please make sure you use the hashtag #PoundBeautyLounge and #PoundBeautyTalk to follow the conversation. All right. And I'm going to bring our guest on tonight, Melanie Yvette of the Beautifully Brown blog. And let's see here. I think this is her number here. Hi, is this Melanie?
Hello. Hi, it's Melanie. How are you?
We are wonderful. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Welcome to the show. We want you to just jump right in and introduce yourself to our listening audience. And just tell us a little bit about where you're from and how did you start your career in beauty?
Okay. Well, to give you the short but good version of everything, I am from Largo, Maryland. It's actually where I am right now, home for the holidays. And I have a very, I think, unique story in the sense that I never really understood my affinity with beauty. It was just naturally there. I remember from about age 5 when I really just saw myself obsessed with beauty. I didn't get it. I would literally go with my mom to Miss Margie's house, the woman who did her hair, and take my dolls and try to replicate every hairstyle Miss Margie did. Like, it was just a natural obsession for me. Makeup obviously didn't happen for a long time just because I wasn't wearing makeup when I was 5 years old, and that my mother wasn't really a beauty woman. So I don't really know, to be honest with you, where everything kind of came from. But I will say that in terms of my career, I knew from a young age that I really wanted to merge beauty and media. So I've always wanted to do theater, always wanted to do television, and then I always wanted to do, I thought I wanted to be a hairdresser at one point. Like, I wanted to figure out a way to merge the three, actually. And I didn't
when
know
you
what
said,
a magazine.
Not to cut you off, but when you said you always wanted to do theater and television, you mean as
like
an
I
actress?
Yeah. In high school, I was in every play. I was leading concert choir. I played Ella Fitzgerald in a high school play. I mean, I was always singing and dancing, but I also loved makeup and hair, and then I also loved being in front of the camera. So I just figured, oh, hey, Oprah's on TV. Maybe I'll do that. Like, I just always had this weird affinity for those three things, and I had no idea how I could make money from it. I just knew I was going to figure it out. So after high school, I told my mom I wanted to go to high school and be on Broadway. She said, you're absolutely crazy. And I was like, okay. So I went to college at Temple and studied communications. And from there, I started to realize, oh, there's a big world in media. There's so many things that you could do. And from there, I wanted to be on television. They didn't have a station yet. So instead, I had my own radio show on campus called Fabulously Focused. And it was so interesting because it was the first all-female radio show on campus. And then from Fabulously Focused, the radio show came Fabulously Focused, the blog. And I didn't even know what a blog was. This is 2000, I want to say, 7, 8 when I started the show. I just did what felt natural, honestly.
Right.
I wanted to talk about beauty. I wanted to talk about fashion. And it was really hard to do that on a radio show because people can't see you.
Mm-hmm.
So I literally had a friend of mine who created my blog for me, I think on like WordPress or something, for like $300. Like, I saved up my money working at Nordstrom in King of Prussia. And the blog went up. Yeah. The blog went up. And it's so funny looking back. I had 5 writers. I was like an EIC. I was an editor in chief, and I didn't really know it at the moment. And from there, you know, I said to myself, I absolutely want to do this. Like, I love writing about beauty. I didn't know what a beauty editor was until I picked up a Marie Claire magazine. And I was like, hmm, that sounds cool. Was never really a dream job, but it just sounded cool. So to shorten the story, I applied for every internship I could find in New York City. I was still in Philadelphia at the time, getting ready to graduate. I got a call from Bobby Thomas, who's the style editor of the Today Show, after stalking her. I stalked her. I was like, I have to intern for you. And finally got the interview, went to New York City, and I lied to her. She was her assistant. I lied to her on the spot. I got hired on the spot, and she said, do you have a place to stay here? And I said, actually, no. I mean, actually, yes, I do, but I didn't. I didn't have a place in New York. I went on Twitter the next day, and I was like, anyone who needs a roommate, let me know. I'm moving to New York. I don't care. I'm going to figure it out. And I found out my old friend from middle school was living in New York, moved in with her. My mom helped me, you know, with rent. She gave me a year, and I got a job at Zara, and, like, I was Bobby Thomas's beauty and style intern at the Today Show. It was the craziest thing. And I just watched what she did. You know, and from there, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, you were saying that your mom really wasn't into beauty. So what was she feeling or thinking about this whole thing? I'm moving to New York and I'm going to intern for Bobby. And what was she thinking?
Oh, she thought I was crazy. Absolutely crazy. My mother's a nurse. it didn't make any sense to her, or really most of my family or friends, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
But I follow my gut instinct a lot. And I know when something feels right, I know when something doesn't feel right. And I was just like, I feel like if I don't take this chance, I'm going to regret it. So
right.
I went and I gave it my best. Like, that internship was for 8 months. I started in September 2010 and ended in the spring of 2011. And from there, I picked up little side jobs, you know, writing for smaller blogs. And I got a call from my cousin, who's actually an author, and Demi Milner. And she knows Missy Miller, who was the former Ebony EIC and Jet Magazine editor-in-chief as well. Mitzi was looking for an assistant for Jet Magazine in Chicago. And I was like, I'll take it. And she was like, absolutely not. You have to interview. And I was like, okay. So I interviewed. I didn't get it. But Mitzi said to me, she said, I know this is going to sound crazy, but you need to be in New York for what you can do. You are really good at beauty. I really think you should stay in New York. And, of course, I was upset because I needed a job. And she said, I'm telling you, I really think you should stay in New York. So, you know, just trust me. She put me in contact with the style editor of Ebony Magazine at the time, Elaine Welteroff, who's now at Teen Vogue. Went into interview with her, I would say, a week or two later. Mitzi came to New York. She introduced me to Elaine. I got hired the next day as an intern. And then from there, went to work for Karina Mayo, intern for Karina Mayo, who was the editorial director for Ebony.com, and they were relaunching the site. And at this time, I realized I need money. And I was strategic. I was like, they have an editorial director. That director is going to need an assistant. So I kind of started stalking Karen. I was like, hi. I didn't even let her sit at her desk for a day before I was knocking on her door. And when my internship was up in the beauty department for the magazine with Elaine, I shifted over to digital under Karen. And honestly, one day it hit me, like, I need a job. And I told Karen, I said, I have an interview with Uptown Magazine. I didn't have an interview, but I had gotten an email from someone over there telling me to come in. But I hadn't gone on the interview yet. And I kind of lied because I was like, I need to put the pressure on them to hire me because I knew that she would need an assistant. And she said, oh, no, you can't leave me. And I would say maybe a month later, they were paying me like as a freelancer, kind of, sort of. So it was just, you know, baby steps. And from there, I moved on to be the beauty and style editor for Ebony.com. And I left in November 2014.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's the long, short version, the shortest version I can give you.
Oh, that's quite all right. But let me ask you, what kind of advice would you give to those freelance writers out there who are trying to maybe go to the, you know, the magazine's digital beauty section or style section, or what kind of advice would you give them?
Oh, that's a good question.
As to how to find a job or get the job.
You know, I usually don't like giving career advice just because it's a very tricky industry and I'm still very new. I'm only 28 in the industry, but I will say this. You have to be able to match strategy and talent and hard work because I don't think that just being a good writer is good enough. And I don't think that just knowing the right people is good enough. I think that you have to know your talent and what makes you stand out. You have to know the right people or find your way in front of the right person who might know the right person. And you also have to strategically pitch yourself, like put yourself out there to look and be apart from the others. So I can't directly say you need to do this, that, and the third. Everyone's path in this industry, so to speak, is so completely different. It's just so different that I really couldn't give generic advice and I wouldn't want to. But I will say when it comes to writing for beauty, I honestly thought that most of the beauty content I was reading was boring as hell. And that's why Beautifully Brown is so near and dear to me because I was bored to tears with everything I was reading. So I would say if you're really trying to be a beauty writer, you have to push the edge now because everything has been written 500 times already. You know, the five lipsticks for fall has been done 500 times. You know, how to do a smoky eye, it's been done. There are massive amounts of YouTube vloggers. You got to bring something different to the beauty conversation if you're really serious about it. And if you want to take the first step, I think is just starting a blog or a vlog, to be honest with you.
So let me ask you, speaking of blogs, now, Beautifully Brown blog, are there still a lot of writers out there doing those traditional style blogs? You know, now that you have YouTube is so popular, and then you have Instagram. People are doing so much on Instagram now. Do you think there are still a lot of bloggers out there doing what you're doing with Beautifully Brown?
I would have to say no, to be honest with you, not to make myself sound so distinguished, but I think the difference, A, is that I don't do makeup reviews. That's not my thing. And that's perfectly fine
right.
for the people who do it. I think it's amazing. I just don't have the willingness to do a makeup review every day. I also haven't really kicked off my YouTube channel yet because I wanted to figure out what I was going to do different because I don't like doing makeup tutorials. That's actually not fun for me. And a lot of people ask me to do their makeup and I say no because I don't like doing people's makeup and I don't like doing makeup tutorials. What I think I do different and I haven't seen a lot of yet, but I'm sure it probably will pick up, is I take the conversation of beauty when it comes to brown women and I, instead of like watering it down, which is what I think we see in these mainstream magazines, I think I give you the perspective that you and your girlfriend would be giving each other behind closed doors. So, you know, when me and my best friend talk about how we hate being called exotic by men, particularly black men who think we're pretty, and they attribute our quote-unquote prettiness to being exotic and not just being a black woman, I write about that. You know, like, I take that and I put that to paper. Or when I'm so fed up that a man is, that men have been calling me chocolate and catcalling and chocolate, I hate when men do that, I write about that. So I think the difference is that I take these real-life experiences and I put it to paper, as opposed to the mainstream magazines watering, you know, that conversation down. And then the bloggers, you know, they do the tutorials, and a lot of other, you know, bloggers do the makeup reviews and stuff like that. That's just not my thing. And I give them total praise, because that's where I get a lot of help from. But I'm about bringing that conversation behind closed doors to paper. I'm not afraid to say those things at all. I'm just not.
And that's a good thing. I love that. I really do.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of, and like I said, no disrespect to anyone who does it, but I'm not a, you know, big fan of someone, you know, daily trying makeup products on themselves, because to me, it doesn't do anything for the brown girl or somebody else that doesn't look like the person that's trying the makeup. You know what I mean? And if I'm going to watch a video of somebody testing products, I want to see it on different people.
Yeah, I mean, I think naturally that's what we all want to see. I'm a fan of, you know, watching these women, these vloggers do it. I love Destiny Godley. I love Style and Beauty Doctor. I'm a fan. It's just that's not my thing, but I do think it helps women because, you know, you can find your blogger that you really connect with and follow her and learn from her. That's absolutely positively possible. It's just that's not my thing. But, you know, I do think it helps a lot of women. I really do.
Oh, yeah. A lot of women look to that.
Right.
They look for it, you know, because they're, you know, looking to purchase or to try new products. Especially women who just don't know much about makeup and want to know, or don't know how to apply makeup and want to learn, that kind of thing.
Right. I agree.
Well, let's talk a little bit about brown girls, and we'll get into your blog a little bit as well. What makes you so passionate about brown girls when it comes to beauty, and then define brown girl?
Okay, well, I guess to answer the first question, I don't know. And I looked at that question, I was like, I don't even know what makes me so passionate. I think a big part of it is I am a brown girl, and I'm a darker brown girl. And when I started really getting into makeup and I started really paying attention to advertisements, I'm very particular about advertisements and how the women look, from their hair to their skin. Are they too Photoshopped? Like, I was always noticing those things even at a younger age. So I don't think it was automatically a brown girl obsession. It was just a woman. It was seeing a woman in beauty. How does she look? How do they do her makeup? Is her hair right? I'm very, very anal about things like that, and it's the weirdest thing. But I think the brown girl thing kicked in high school. I went to an all-girl Catholic school. I was a beauty girl in high school, like a beauty girl. And I think I took it up a notch because when I was, you know, you're in Catholic school, you wear uniforms. So it's not like I'm expressing myself via clothes. I'm, you know, so glitter lip glosses and, you know, how I wore my hair, my nails were always done. I had a girly night. Like, I literally just became obsessed in general with our womanhood and how beauty plays a part in that. I think the brown girl thing really just happened by accident in a way, because I started to realize that nobody was saying the things, like I said earlier, I wanted them to say, even in high school. Like, why are people in such and such magazine talking about how hard it is to, I don't know, detangle your hair when it's natural as a black girl? Like, I was just so frustrated that no one seemingly cared about us. So I think that's where the obsession came from for brown women. And to answer your second question, the way I define brown women is really just any woman of color. You know, I don't, I think my core audience are beautifully brown. They're darker black women, and that's perfect. I love that. But in general, a brown girl is a girl who just isn't white. And it's interesting because I've even had white women come to the site and leave comments about how they feel about a particular subject. So Beautifully Brown really isn't just reaching brown women. I think that the conversation is very dynamic. But, yeah, you know, brown girls, anyone who essentially isn't white to me.
Right, right. Right, absolutely. And that's kind of the thing behind when my sister and I started our cosmetic line, it was through women of color. You know, and we're both makeup artists for feature film and television. And years ago when we started, you know, I feel like there weren't as many options as there are today.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to kind of going to the same product brands for colors for women of color. And just like you just said, you know, it's pretty much anybody that wasn't white is how we define
right.
Women of color as well. And so I just feel like things needed to be different, you know,
right.
And not that we were trying to say, oh, okay, we have the best, you know, best brand out. We weren't saying that. We were just saying we are now another option for women of color. You know, we considered those women who were, you know, black, all shades of black, you know, Asian, Latin, you know, and so on and so forth. So
mm-hmm.
I totally agree with what you're saying. And even with that, there were women who were white
right.
who liked what we had to offer, you know, and not that we were, you know, excluding anyone in particular. We were just addressing the needs for a particular group.
Exactly.
And I think that's kind of what you're doing. You're having a conversation in regards to a particular group, but, you know, there are other people who could, you know, somewhat identify with what you're, you know, what you're saying through your blog.
Yeah, and I think that's really interesting, and I think it's very cool because I feel like we don't, as women as a whole, like all races, all ethnicities, I feel like we have all of these questions about one another, but we never ask the questions to each other. So a black girl might have questions about a white girl and her beauty routine. A white girl might have questions about our hair, but it's nothing. It's just so, it's so many lines that have been drawn between like this beauty conversation of black and white and, or brown and white. And what I'm starting to learn through the blog is that we all kind of have the same issues as women in
right.
different ways, but we all have the same kind of issues. I was looking at my statistics one day randomly with my best friend, and she was like, well, no, you know, the majority of your quote-unquote followers or readers are coming from the U.S., but number two is China. And I was like, what? China? Like, what? Like, it was crazy to me. I would think it was maybe Africa, maybe the U.K.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, no, it's China. And I was like, it just really opened my eyes that, A, brown, I think, brown is very broad, the word, mm-hmm. the way women are attached to brown, women of color. I didn't know Asian women felt brown. I didn't know some Latino women. I just didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to learn that. But, B, we really essentially all go through the same stuff, even white women. There are many
right.
white women with olive complexions that have a hard time finding their foundation, just like a girl like me, who's darker with a red undertone. Like, we really do, but I think that the media, the mass media, these mainstream magazines, they do address, you know, a white woman's needs way before a black woman's or a brown woman's, but it's changing. But for me, it just wasn't fast enough. I was just like, no, this is too slow. So let's just go ahead and do the do.
Right, absolutely. So how long have you had your blog?
So the blog started like this year, like February. But ironically, I started Beautifully Brown in a sense on my Tumblr, and you know, it became a column on ebony.com. And then when I left, people were like, oh, my gosh, are you going to keep doing, you know, Beautifully Brown? I was like, yeah, I guess. So, I just kind of said, well, I might as well just do the, you know, do the blog. I wasn't going to use my Tumblr anymore because it was just a little dated. So you could say it's been around for a couple of years, but really this year is when people started to take notice, because I ironically started to get people emailing me about things. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa. A woman, she emailed me about Orange Blush, and then I did a story on that, and that was one of the biggest, like the highest tracking stories. So this is the year that people actually started to take notice, if anything.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, let's talk about the Orange Blush, and let's talk about, you know, that you're a darker woman. You know, my sister and I just did a class, a two-day class, actually, for a group. This is a social brunch club, actually, that we belong to in Atlanta. And I think they have a D.C. chapter, but I don't know if you've ever heard of the Beautiful Brown Girls.
No, Beautiful Brown Dolls?
No,
Girls.
Brown.
No, I have to look that up.
Yeah, they may even have a New York chapter, I believe. But it's just a brunch club, and we meet once a month for brunch. But they wanted to come to our makeup studio. They wanted to learn how to, you know, do their makeup. And there was one lady who, she was very dark, and we were trying, I think it was eyeshadow or something, we were trying to, you know, trying to show them exactly where to put the eyeshadow and that kind of thing. And some of the colors she was afraid to even use or try. And we were telling her, you know, because of how dark you are, you could really almost wear anything. You know, and just trying, she was like, well, please stop, because I was so dark I couldn't wear. And I was like, you know what, it's time for you all to stop thinking like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And just educate them and teach them about color and, you know, not to be afraid of their dark skin,
mm-hmm.
You know, and that kind of thing. What are you saying to women about that? And, what did you say to the woman about the Orange Blush? I don't know if she was wondering if she could wear it or if she was having problems with the color. I'm not sure. But what
mm-hmm.
do you say to who thinks that they can't wear, like, bright colors, which I think are flattering on dark skin? But what do you think? Well, what do you say to women who think that they can't wear it because they're too dark?
Well, you know, my mantra literally is, I'm a brown girl who loves bright lips. Like, that's my mantra. I don't know if anyone else knew that on the phone, but that is my mantra. So to answer your question, I think that you as a darker woman can absolutely pull off a bold, bright color. What I will say is, you have to find your right shade, your right hue. But for a lot of the darker women who have reached out, like that one lady, for instance, the Orange Blush story, I literally took a few photos of myself in Exhibit A by NARS, and I put it up. And I took a couple of photos of Lupita, and I took a couple of photos off the internet of Beyonce and a Latina woman, and a couple of other actresses, just showing the wide range of brown complexions, especially darker ones, in Orange Blush. And I basically titled it, like, Orange Blush is pretty much perfect for brown skin, because I don't mm-hmm. think that we don't know it because we don't see it. I don't even know if it's, and I'm afraid of my dark skin complex, is I don't see it complex. So Orange Blush was the thing of spring 2015. That was all over the runways last fall, and it was the it thing, it makeup, beauty thing, that and brows and contouring, of course, this spring and summer. And we get left out of the trend conversation a lot as brown women in general.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really someone reaching out to me. I wish I remember her name. She reached out and said, I've been seeing Orange Blush a lot. Is that appropriate for darker skin? And that's really where the concept for the article came about. So my take on it is, all you have to do, really, especially as a darker woman, if you're feeling insecure about bold colors, is go to, I prefer like a MAC or a department store counter, because they're usually a little, they're, you know, more trained. And talk to these women and say, hey, I would like to try a fuchsia blush or an orange blush. How do I do that? At this point, we don't see enough of darker models and brown models as I think we should in these advertisements. Mm-hmm. But we have enough, I think, information, I would hope, that inspires us to say, okay, I think I could pull this off. I just need to figure out what's the best shade or hue. And if you don't feel like that, I'm telling you now, you can pull off a red lipstick. You can pull off a blue eyeshadow. You can pull off an orange blush. You have to find your right shade. We can wear any color. We just have to have the right shade. So that's
and
what
that goes
that.
For. And that goes for if you're very light to the darkest dark.
Yep.
I mean, it doesn't matter what your complexion is. You have to find the right shade of that color for your complexion.
Exactly. My best friend is a fair. She's a bit lighter than Beyonce. And one day she was really anxious about a smoky eye. She thought it would look too harsh. And I was like, well, it will look harsh if you use black. But if you pull out a navy or a gray or a deep purple, it will be a bit softer. Whereas I could probably rock a black smoky eye with a little bit of silver and grays mixed in. That would make her look like a raccoon. So, you know, it goes both ways. It's just about finding the balance.
Absolutely. So what are some of your favorite beauty products?
Wow, that's so funny. When you sent the questions, I went to my makeup bag and I was like, I can't tell them all this. This is ridiculous. I would have to say off the top of my head, I'm completely dedicated to the YSL. I never say this foundation name correct, but it's like YSL Latient. I think that's how you say it. It's Leteint, I believe. I'm not sure, but if you see it, you will
know
what you're
talking about.
It's a French name, I believe. It's so luminous. It's creamy, but it's not too heavy. I only use it in the fall and winter because it's a little too oily for the spring and summer for me. So in terms of foundation, that's what I'm obsessed with. I love Makeup Forever's Pro Finish Powder. I just put that on top of the foundation if I just want more matte look. Or sometimes I'll just do that, the Makeup Forever Pro Finish Powder by itself. I am completely dedicated to the LEF lip scrub. It's like $2 maybe at Target. Exfoliates your lips. I love Exhibit A Blush by NARS, the orange blush, and I love Fuchsia Flash Blush by Sephora. My gosh, what else? I mean, I'm obsessed with skincare, so, you know, I do the Clarisonic twice a week. I'm really, really into this new product that I've started using called First Aid Beauty. It's called the First Aid Beauty Mattifying Gel. I'm not sure if it's new, but it's new for me. It just sort of absorbs. Yeah, it's called First Aid Beauty Mattifying Gel. You can get it at Sephora, and I just put that on before my foundation, and it sort of absorbs excess oil, and it just gives your face a clean look. And I probably am obsessed with the Sif lipstick by MAC. I'll do a gloss on top. It's just a little drying, but it's S-I-S-S, Sif. It's my favorite nude lipstick right now.
Nice. Well, I have to say that I've been using orange blush. Since we're talking about orange blush, I've been using orange blush in my professional kit for 18 years now.
I love that. I love it.
I love it.
I love
on
it.
Brown skin.
It's beautiful.
It's just flattering on brown.
It gives you this sun-kissed glow.
And I remember one time, it's been at least, it's been a while, been maybe about 5 or 6 years or so, when our first time I've ever worked with Gabrielle Union. And I remember she asking for a orange blush, and she wanted it to be the brightest thing that I had. And pulled the brightest thing that I had out. I don't even know who it was from, and it was so beautiful on her skin.
Love it.
So
her I love
skin.
It.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, and sometimes a lot of people don't realize, like the bright orange or whatever color orange, sometimes it doesn't necessarily look, you know, bright.
Right. You know, it normally doesn't.
Right.
For me, it normally looks like a beautiful, dewy glow.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost
exactly.
like you're radiant.
Exactly. That's the thing that I like about it. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why I tell people don't fear that stuff. You just have to try it. You don't
mm-hmm.
like it, don't, but you have to try it before you, you know, to totally, you know, give up on it.
I have another favorite blush by LEF, and it's a hot pink. I mean, it's super, super, super bright. But on, oh, my gosh, it's just, it's almost like really sultry. And, it's really potent.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need a lot. But even a hot pink blush, I started doing that for the holidays, and I love it. I love it.
Yeah. I really love those bright shades. Some of those bright shades are really nice.
Right.
What about foundation for brown skin? What do you like, or whether you've tried it yourself or just, you know, things that you've seen, like in Sephora or wherever, what do you like for brown skin?
Oh, gosh, that's a long list. I will say, you know, I definitely like NARS. I like Bobbi Brown. I love AJ. Is it AJ Crimson? I think,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Off the top of my head. I like MAC. I think MAC has a variety of colors. For me, MAC is a little too yellow at times, but MAC is really good in terms of variety. I really like Iman's powder. Her powders are really good. They're nice and rich. They're very silky, very sultry. Oh, gosh. It's so many. I mean, I'm trying to think. There's this place in New Orleans called Voodoo Makeup. Absolutely random. I went there for Memorial Day. They make customized foundations. And Voodoo
Makeup.
Yes,
I've heard of them.
It's perfect. Like, they completely match your complexion perfectly. So I use them in the summer because when I went, I got a tan. So the foundation's a little too dark right now for the winter. So I get lighter in the winter, darker in the summer. But I love Voodoo Makeup. I'm trying to think. Any drugstore brand that I really, really like besides Iman. I've heard that Shea Moisture is really good. I haven't tried Shea Moisture just yet. So I'm looking forward to trying Shea Moisture. But, yeah, those are probably my top favorites in terms of, you know, variety for brown skin.
Well, speaking of a variety for brown skin, do you think that the makeup industry is finally embracing diversity when it comes to products, when it comes to, like you mentioned about the ads a little earlier, when it comes to advertisements? Do you think that the industry is finally embracing diversity?
Yeah, I do. I think that there's a difference between embracing and actually getting it. I think that
mm-hmm.
the industry, the leaders in this industry, not all, but a good amount, are not so much always embracing diversity all of the time. And this is no shade, but I think a big part of it is that they're starting to understand the power of our dollar. And I think we're starting to understand the power of our dollar, and we're making more conscientious decisions about where we spend our money. And I think that these advertisers and the leaders of these companies and these brands are starting to notice that. And that shakes anybody in those, you know, C-suite up more than anything. Because once you start to mess with their money, they'll change their direction. So I believe that while, yes, there are some companies that are really dedicated to embracing diversity, I think the others really are just starting to understand that we have a lot of power as black women, especially in the beauty industry. So that's the big thing. Now, do I think that they're getting it? Not all the way, no. But that's because we don't have as many black and brown women in the top seats as I think we should. And when I mean getting, I mean, do they get our voice? Do they get that we like to wear our hair natural and straight and in weaves and in braids and everything else? Do they understand why we were so shocked when Viola took her weave off, her wig off, and how to get away with murder? Like, do they get that? Absolutely not. But who does? Shonda Rhimes, which is why it was written into the show. So I think embracing and actually getting it, I think that's a two different thing. I really do.
Yeah, that's true. Why do you think, because I've noticed this, why do you think women in general, not necessarily brown women, but just women in general, confuse beauty with makeup? Why do women feel like, some women feel like they're not beautiful unless they're wearing makeup?
Wow, oh, that's a powerful question. I will say for the first question, I think many women confuse beauty and makeup because there's no source that's really distinguished the two for us. Beauty and makeup, in my opinion, almost like sisters, with beauty being like the big, more experienced sister and makeup like the little sister. Like, they're related, and they're closely related. But they're not the same. And I think a big part of this is that no one has really distinguished beauty and makeup for us, which is why we associate the two to be the same, in my opinion. Now, why do I feel many women don't feel beautiful without makeup? That's a deep question. But I will say because, you know, there's a standard that we've all been looking at in media, in the magazines, on TV, et cetera, et cetera. And I think a lot of women are still trying to live up to that standard. Now, I think a lot of brands are trying to break that standard into pieces and sort of rebuild it up because it's very, it's unapproachable and it's completely, it's not real. It doesn't exist. The standard of perfection that essentially you kind of can reach with makeup, but it's not real. So I think a big part of it is the standard. I think a big part of it is upbringing. I think environment, you know, if you weren't told that you were beautiful, if you weren't encouraged to be confident in yourself as you are from a younger child, I think that can have an effect on it. I mean, I think there's so many reasons why women, some women might feel beautiful only when they're wearing makeup. And, you know, I'm not a therapist or a psychologist, so I can't make that assumption. But I would say it could be those factors.
Absolutely. How do you think that women of color or women of darker skin tones are changing the face of beauty?
Are changing what? I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry.
How do you feel that they're changing the face of beauty, women of color? And also women with darker skin.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Changing the face. Well, I mean, I can speak for women of a darker complexion that for the longest we've been told we weren't desirable, we weren't pretty, and I think that women who are darker are starting to be like, y'all crazy, we're beautiful, we're fabulous. And I think I don't have this idea that darker women are walking around sad and depressed. And I think that is what the media has absolutely portrayed for the longest time, that if you are dark skinned, you feel inferior to your light-skinned friends or town or peers or whoever. That's actually not true. And I mean to say that's not true for every dark-skinned woman. So that always pissed me off, excuse my language, but I was just like, that's not true. Like, we don't all hate ourselves. We wish we were lighter. That's just not how this thing works. But media has done that to us. I think that seeing the Violas, the Lupitas, in terms of changing the face of beauty, I don't know if it's changed the face or if it's just expanded the idea for people that beauty doesn't just come in one shade. So I don't know if that's changing or if that's just expanding, but Yeah, you know, that's a very interesting question. I've never thought about that, how we are changing.
It's a little bit of both. And then you think about it, you know, sometimes you even watch television and you see a lot more Latin women on TV, which is great, you know.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it just shows that beautiful women aren't just represented by one group.
Right.
You know, it's a good thing because that's the way the world is. There's, you know, beautiful women of all shades. So I just think it's a great thing.
Yeah, I do. I agree. Absolutely agree. One thing I will say, like, during my interview series on the site, I interview women, I take their photos, and I ask them about their beauty journey. And the one common denominator between them all was that they all just wanted to feel beautiful in their skin. Mm-hmm. And it made me realize, and they weren't insecure women who didn't. That is just the common denominator of what all these women share with me, is that I just want to feel comfortable with who I am naturally. And I started to realize that is what everyone in this world wants. We all just want to be, A, completely comfortable with who we are naturally, and B, accepted for who we are naturally. That's all we want, especially women. That's it. That's all we want. Mm-hmm. And it's simple, but it's not easy because of, you know, the media or whatever. But that's all people want. So, you know, it's very interesting to see how things are just changing media-wise, what Dove is doing, you know, what these brands that are really dedicated to uplifting women are doing. It's fascinating to see it happening the way it's happening. But we're the reason it's happening, because we're in social media, because social media gives us a direct form of correspondence to these brands. So if such and such brand messes up with the advertisement that's disrespectful, you're going to hear it from millions of people via Twitter and Instagram in an hour. And I think social media has created this amazing platform to put brands in check about how they're representing everyone, you know. It's amazing what's happening.
Absolutely. If there was a message behind the name of your blog, what would that be? What's the message behind Beautifully Brown?
You know, I would say in your skin, you are absolutely perfect. I mean, I don't mean to sound cliche or corny, but you are completely fine the way you are. If there's a message behind it, you know, you are perfect. I think I say that because of the interviews that I've done with other women, talking to brown women, an Indian girl, a Latina girl, a mixed race girl, a black girl, an African girl. From each interview, I've taken a little bit of something, and I think the overarching message has been shaped by the women, not really me. And I think that's the message, that take out all the fluff, take out all the drama, take out all the nonsense we go through all day, every day as women. You come home, you take off your makeup, you take a shower, you look at yourself in the mirror. That right there, that's perfect. Mm-hmm. And I think even though we talk about makeup and skincare and yada, 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 I just feel like that's the message, that you're good, you're fine. And I think that's the message because really no one else is saying that to us in terms of a mainstream magazine.
Right.
So I want to be one of the blogs to say that, because it's not, Beautifully Brown isn't the only one saying that, but I want to be one of the leading, you know, blogs saying that. I do.
Yeah, having that conversation, exactly.
Yeah.
So speaking of your blog, where do you see your blog in the next year or two? What plans do you have for it?
You know what? I don't know. And I know that sounds very unbusinesslike, but all of this is very new to me. I don't, for a long time I didn't look at it as a business. I still kind of, this is passion. I don't make money off of my blog. I have two contracts with amazing companies working as a writer and one as a consultant, but I was never doing this for money. I love doing this. I don't make any money from Beautifully Brown. So I don't even know. This is so new to me. People reaching out, it's completely caught me off guard. Have I thought about it? Absolutely. You know, maybe a book or, you know, what, I don't know. But right now, I'm enjoying doing the work, to be honest with you. Like, I love doing the work. I love putting on my tennis shoes and going to a woman's house and shooting her bathroom and shooting her favorite makeup and shooting her and her comfort zone and learning her beauty journey. I love picking out a trend that sounds crazy to darker or brown women and showing them how to wear it. Like, I love the act of work more than any possible result that can come out of the act of work. So, to be real with you, I just take it one step at a time. I really haven't thought that far. I just love doing what I do. I love it.
Absolutely. That's great. Last question. What?
No.
Is beauty?
I'm having a ball.
Right. Like, no. What is beauty to you?
What is beauty to me? I think that beauty is a state of being. I think it evolves, and I think that it evolves as we evolve as women, but I also think that beauty is a part of womanhood. It's something that we all celebrate together as women. There's no woman that you can't walk up to and say, oh, my God, I love your skin, and she won't blush, you know, or, oh, my mm-hmm. God, you just look so confident. You look so – you're glowing. Like, that's beauty. I think it's how you feel. I think mm-hmm. it's where you are. And I think it's ever-evolving. Beauty to me right now is completely different than what beauty was to me 2 years ago when I lost my father. Like, it shifts as you shift, I think. And I think that beauty, its definition at its core remains the same. It's, you know, a state of who you are in the moment in your natural state and how you feel about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But I think your expression of it is always evolving because as a woman, as a person, you're always evolving. But I think it's honest, and I think it's a part of owning yourself. And I think true beauty is reflected from a woman who absolutely, no matter if she wants to lose 5 pounds, if she wants to change her hair, if her nails are chipped, or whatever it is, she can look at herself in the mirror pure and natural, naked, with nothing, and be very happy with herself. And I think that's beauty. And I think that's a very hard thing to achieve in this society, but it's not impossible because I am there, and it feels amazing. I feel beautiful. So I really think it's a state of being. Yeah, I really do.
Absolutely.
I have a question.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, we get so many different opinions, and I think that's part of one of the reasons why I asked the question, why do you think some women confuse beauty with makeup? Because there were times when we've asked that question, and some people did go that direction with their answer, you know, talking more about makeup or what have you. But for the most
mm-hmm.
part, for the most part, people will kind of answer very similar to what you said. You know, like for me, I think beauty is confidence. I think beauty is a lot of things, and my answer will change all the time, you know, because it's so many things.
It is.
So many, things to different people.
And it's affected by so many aspects of your life. I don't think that we recognize that part sometimes. You know, you feel the way you feel beautiful today may be different, in a sense, from a year ago or when you were 18 or when you were 16. You know, it's just, it's definitely, it evolves. It's a definite, it's an evolution of self, I think, especially for a woman. And I don't think that's something men get. And I think that's why a lot of men feel some type of way about the conversation of beauty. Whether it's, why do you want to wear weave, or why do you want to do makeup, or, you know, I've met so many men that are like, I like women who are natural, and it's just, that's great, but I feel like that's the one conversation men can just sit back and watch happen. No offense, right. But it's like, you don't get it. It's not a part of you. It's a part of our womanhood. It really is. Like, it's our secret. It's like a secret society that only women can really, like, I think, lead in terms of conversation, because we experience it every day. We're the ones who, you know, we feel beautiful one day, but the next day we don't. We walk out the house feeling sexy, but then we see an ad and we're like, dang, I'm not that skinny. Like, these are the things that affect us, and I just don't think men get it, you know?
Right.
And that frustrates me.
Absolutely. Well, this is off topic, but you mentioned that you went to Catholic school. What school did you go to?
I went to Elizabeth Seton High School in Bladensburg, Maryland.
I knew you were going to say that. That's why I asked you that. I went to Elizabeth Seton High School in Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh, my gosh. That is so crazy. It's such a small world. That is
right.
So crazy. I love Seton. The first day I hated it. And then by my senior year, I didn't want to leave. I really loved going to Seton.
Well, my first day of school, I really loved it, but by my senior year, the last day, I was glad to go. So
that's usually how it is, though. Like, all of my friends who liked it in the beginning could not wait to get out, and I hated it in the beginning, and I was like, no, I don't want to go. So that's so funny.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it has been an absolute pleasure speaking with you tonight. I'm so thankful you could come on at the last minute.
Of course. This was so amazing. I'm so happy to be on the last episode. Like, that's an honor.
Absolutely. We're glad to get you. And we're going to definitely keep this conversation going. So don't be surprised if we have you join a panel discussion next year when we, you know, at some point.
I would be I would be honored. I would love to. Anything. Just let me know. I'm there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when do you go back to New York?
Probably the 4th. I'll be heading to New Orleans from the 28th until the 4th to visit a friend.
Oh, okay.
Like a girlfriend's trip for New Year's. And I love New Orleans. I'm obsessed with New Orleans. And then I'll be heading back the first week of January.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, we wish you a Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much. I wish you the same.
And best wishes for a happy and prosperous New Year.
Yes, the same to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And we will definitely keep in touch.
Okay, perfect. You all have an amazing evening.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight. We really appreciate it. And again, as I said earlier in the show, thank you so much for hanging out with us every Sunday night throughout this year, 2015. And a big, big shout out. I don't care what we're talking about, who's on the show, what's on television.
That mysterious Texas listener.
Listener from the 832 area code is always tuned in. I don't know if they call in, if they're listening, if they're what they're doing, but thank you so much. We greatly appreciate it. I wish we knew who you were so we could properly thank you by saying your name, but it really doesn't matter. We thank you for your continued support anyway. Thank you again for those who are listening that are not on the phone line. those who are listening by way of the internet. Thank you so much. And again, as always, a big shout out to those who are listening on the playback.
Yes.
Our friends around the world who will probably in bed sleep right now, but they have to catch us on the playback. And a big, big thank you to those who are around the world who are like 6, 7, and 8 hours ahead of us who are up listening.
Right.
So we thank you for that. Again, we're coming up on year number 8, and we have a lot of plans.
Oh, wow.
For the show.
Just to hear that, it sounds.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds
we
like eight years.
So, the show has gone through a couple of changes. We started off on Thursday night, probably once a month. Then it turned into.
It was twice a month.
Twice a month, turned into every week. And then we eventually switched to Sunday because there were a couple of times where we had a guest who may have, like, called us or texted us, like, maybe half hour or 15 minutes before the show and said, I'm not going to be able to come on because they're still at their job or what have you. And it really made us take a look at, you know what? We interview every week working artists.
And not just that, but sometimes we were stuck at work on a Thursday night, you know?
Absolutely. So, you know, we're all working artists, whether we're doing hair, makeup, nails, whatever the situation is. And so sometimes it's hard to get working artists to come on. So we decided to switch to Sunday nights, which I think, you know, worked a lot better as far as the schedules of our guests. So, you know, we've had several changes, but we are looking to do some bigger and better things next year and really looking to take the show, not just being here on Blog Talk Radio, but just really taking the show farther past that. So,
and don't be surprised if Beauty Talk ends up in your country at some major event. So,
right, absolutely. We're working on all of that. So, again, I can't say thank you enough. I can't come up with any different ways to say it, but just thank you, thank you, thank you. We are really looking forward to, you know, what's to come and all the new and exciting things that's going to be happening with the show. So
it's been a long year, but it's been like a very full year with the shows. Like, you know, we've had some really meaty shows. We've talked about Airbrush over just recently. Oh, my God. It's like, we've had a few barbers on, which is kind of, I mean, we've had barbers on in the past here and there, but it's like this year we really focused on that just a little bit more. We really, you know, talking about male grooming a little bit, just a little more this year. Oh, gosh. We've had... I mean, just quite a few different.
You know, this year we brought on Suzanne, who we normally have on a little bit more regular.
Yes.
You know, because of different things that she's doing, we weren't able to have her on, I believe, the year before, but we brought her back in this year. In our earlier days, we used to have her on, like, was it once a month?
Oh, once a quarter, almost.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's what I would like to have back, at least to get her on at least once a quarter.
Because the thing is, you know, HD is constantly changing. You're thinking about these cameras. It's constantly changing. Like right now, you know, we're into the whole 4K thing, but before you know it, it's like 6K, 8K, and that'll be, you know, it's almost like by the time we have another show, things would have changed again. It's like when you're working on set on these television shows or these film projects, and you know, and you're looking at these camera operators and you're looking at the equipment that they're using. It's like by the time they get used to that, we've moved on to something else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like as makeup artists and hairstylists, if we're going to work in, you know, film and TV, we have to educate ourselves on that stuff. We have to. Even if you don't totally understand it, just the fact that you've heard it before is important.
Yep. And not only just film and TV, but, you know, some of these digital, some of these HD cameras can now be used to just shoot those.
Yes. Yeah.
You have to be aware of that with your photo shoot.
And speaking of photos, we've had photographers on again this year with Nina Parker and her portrait couture. Of course, just recently, Claire Iluka from Prime Skincare. You know, we have quite a bit of skincare on this year. But we've also done a lot of talking about natural hair and really getting into natural hair care this year.
Right.
And Jetty Harvey, of course.
I'm sorry, but I just wanted to say quickly while I was thinking of it. Speaking of Claire, we just did a tweet chat on Saturday with Claire. She was our guest last Sunday, and then we did a tweet chat this Saturday with her. And speaking of tweet chats, just wanted to let you guys know that every second Saturday of the month, make sure you're following Beauty Talk on Twitter, because we will be having a tweet chat every second Saturday. So sometimes it'll be us chatting, and a lot of times we will be having a tweet chat where we have a guest on with us. So
be sure to follow at @beauty_talk is our handle on Twitter, @beauty_talk.
Yeah.
And then we also incorporated even more so this year, as I think than any year in the past, with more nails, conversations about nails this year.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So just a little, some different things, but we want to continue to bring you new and different things next year. We want to bring on more more guests from that aren't here in this country. So you have to follow us on Twitter and Facebook with Beauty Talk Online, so that you catch the announcements. When we make an announcement that Beauty Talk will air, you know, earlier on Sunday, you know, we might be airing on like 3 p.m. or 4 p.m., something like that, because we have a guest in Nigeria or we have a guest in London. You know, those people who may be 6 hours ahead of us, you know, we want to be respectful of the fact that when we're on at 9 p.m., they're in the bed asleep, you know. So sometimes you have to watch out and listen out for those announcements where we'll be announcing, but a lot of times we're going to have guests from other countries and we want to bring them on, but you have to listen to them, you know, a little earlier or catch it on the playback, whatever works for you. But just putting it out there that you're going to start hearing more guests that are from all over the world on the show. So we're excited about that as well. And it's kind of hard, whether they live in London or whether they live in L.A., it's kind of hard to book guests every single week, you
right.
know, but we're doing it. There are a lot of guests that may not have been on the show, and you maybe somebody that you want to hear. And maybe part of the reason is because it's really hard to get people's schedules together. So that could be the reason why you haven't heard your favorite makeup artist or what have you. So I encourage everyone, you know, if you have an idea about a guest that you want to hear, send us an email at beautygirlsmedia@gmail.com and tell us who you want to hear, you know.
That's a good point, because like we were stating earlier, the people that we interviewed are working artists, and you know, and if you know, not just the time difference, but if they're working, you know what I mean, it's going to be hard to kind of pinpoint them down on a Sunday if that's their day off. Sometimes they have plans of, you know, doing stuff, whether it just be to relax or whether it's just to, you know, spend time with family or what have you. Sometimes it's kind of hard to even get them on a Sunday because they just have plans of relaxing, or some people may work 7 days a week. You just never know, especially in this industry. When you don't work, you don't get paid, so people are going to take jobs, you know, all the time. So we'll do our best to get on who you would like to, you know, hear. So just again, email us at beautygirlsmedia@gmail.com, and we'll try to get your favorite makeup artist, hairstylist, nail tech body painter, you know, whoever it may be, just let us know and we'll try to get them on.
Absolutely. So we're not trying to keep you guys on much longer. We just, again, wanted to say for the 100th time, thank you very much. We appreciate it. We do this because we want to share information and we want to expose our listeners to other artists, some you know of, some you don't know of. But, you know, I feel like it's an education for us all, you know, and it's an opportunity and a way for us all to be inspired, just going, you know, no matter what it's about. And a lot of times, one of the things we try to do a little differently this year that we want to do more of as well is bring in someone on the line to talk about topics that have something to do with beauty, but it's not necessarily about, you know, it's not necessarily about makeup, you know, a makeup artist telling their story or a hairstylist telling their story, you know, just like the young lady we had on tonight, Melanie Yvette, you know, it's more so about a conversation about, you know, brown beauty and how that affects women of color. You know, women of color have many issues, as like we all discussed tonight, but, you know, sometimes those conversations, like she mentioned about being called a chocolate girl, you know, by somebody, or being called exotic. Oh, you all look exotic because they found them beautiful, you know, and but what a woman wants, you know, as a black woman, you doesn't necessarily want to be called exotic because you're dark and beautiful. And so sometimes those type of conversations or those words go beyond, you know, the conversation of makeup. So that's kind of what we want to bring a little bit more into the show. Just, you know, how we always ask our guests, what is beauty to you? We kind of want to go a little into things like that that goes a little deeper than makeup. You know, it's more than your career in makeup. It's about, you know, beauty and how it makes you feel, what beauty is to you. Like we always ask the actresses, kind of Hollywood defined beauty and what that means to them and that kind of thing. It's more than makeup. It's more than hair and fashion and that kind of thing. So we kind of want to bring you some things that kind of will attack some of the social issues that come along with can do to bring that together for a show next year as well. I keep wanting to say next season, like this is a TV series or something going off the air or something. But so next year we want to bring you a whole lot more more things to talk about and to be inspired by.
So again, so if you missed any shows, if anyone has missed any shows, then just spend this holiday season getting caught up.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you know where to find us. But we will be back in January, and that's going to be, let's see, January the first
third.
Day, January 3rd. We'll be back January 3rd. So not too many weeks off, just 1 week break, and then we're back for the new year. So follow us on social media. On Facebook, we're Beauty Talk Online. On Twitter, we're Beauty_Talk. On Instagram, we are Beauty_Talk_Media. And cover it all. Oh, we're on Periscope. We are, I'm just guessing, y'all, just Beauty Talk, I think.
Type That's it in of, and you'll find us.
Yeah.
Exactly. Type in Beauty Talk and you'll find us.
Absolutely. So we are wishing everyone out there a Merry Christmas. And have a wonderful and blessed new year. Have a great night and a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody, and thank you.
Good night.